all the earth. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John and chapter 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he speaks, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Well, let's pray as we look at this text together. Father, we thank you this morning on this Trinity Sunday for all that you are. And we pray, help us to know a little bit more about who you are and how we're called to be part of that relationship with you. Amen. Well, while the greetings card industry is celebrating Father's Day today in the church, we are celebrating Father, Son and Spirit Day, also known as Trinity Sunday. And the theological concept of God as Trinity, how God functions, it's fair to say does contain a degree of mystery. It's up there with other great mysteries in the world, such as, what is my wife thinking? Or where do missing socks go? Or even, is Billy Piper really going to be the 16th Doctor Who? I mean, who knows? Even the renowned theologian Augustine, who spent a lot of his time studying the Trinity, remarked, if you can comprehend something, it is not God. Helpful. Thank you, Augustine. And you see, our problem with the Trinity is that often our attempts to describe God as Trinity often drift into several well-known heresies. We've got modalism, which is God wearing sort of different masks at different points. We've got tritheism or partialism, that there are three separate independent gods. And my personal favourite, at least in name, subordinationism, that says that Father, Son and Spirit are actually different ranks of deity. So forgive me, lest I should stray into any of those territories this morning. But what I think is truly important and somewhat a little bit more understandable is that actually the Trinity is a uniquely Christian way of thinking about God. Simply put, it's how we try and understand God in the light of the experience and the biblical record of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the world. Any expression of Trinity is trying to seek to understand how those three persons fit together. And if you think it's difficult, well, actually it took the church 300 years to get to the classical understanding of God being one in essence, distinguished in three persons. That is that there's just one God who is Father, Son and Spirit and has always been that way and always will be that way. And perhaps the key takeaway for us here is not necessarily 4th century metaphysics, but it's to know this, that at the heart of God, there is a lively, creative and loving community. And we see this in our Bible reading today, because this is one of those passages, one of those moments where we get a glimpse into how these three persons relate. John 16 comes right in the middle of the Last Supper, Jesus' farewell discourse, the kind of last piece of teaching he does with his disciples. And Jesus is speaking to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as he said this, he gets to verse 13. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the first thing we perhaps want to note there is that the Spirit is not a separate entity operating on his or her own, but will speak, instead will speak truth and declare things that the Spirit has heard. Which leads us into the next question, well, who does the Spirit hear these things from? And the answer is our Sunday school favourite. He hears them from Jesus. He, the Spirit, will glorify me because he will take what is mine, Jesus's, and declare it to you. So the Spirit is going to glorify Jesus by telling us about Jesus. And he can do so because the two of them are inherently connected. And then comes the Father. Verse 15. All that the Father has is mine, says Jesus. For this reason, I said that he, the Father, will take what is mine, Jesus's, and declare it to you. So then, Jesus describes how he and the Father, like he and the Spirit, are linked together, that they share everything between them. And it is this sharedness that the Spirit will bear witness to, not as an outsider bearing witness, but because they are part of that sharedness, and they're sharing part of the relationship. The Spirit couldn't declare or share truth if the Spirit wasn't already an inherent part of the truth. Now, Jesus says the Spirit comes to declare truth, but what is the truth then that the Spirit comes to declare? Well, while the work of the Holy Spirit across Scripture is rich and is varied, I think you can essentially boil it down to a single concept. And that's this, that the Spirit's job is to make known the love of God to us and to include us within that loving relationship. The other set text for today is from the book of Romans. And in Romans 5:5, Paul writes this. He says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So at the heart of God, you've got these three persons in this loving community and relationship. And then through that, we are invited to participate. The theologian Jürgen Moltmann summarised the gospel as being this. He said, it's the great love story between Father, Son and Holy Spirit, a divine love story in which we are all involved together with heaven and earth. If God is profoundly personal and relational at heart, then we too are invited into that relationship. And the Trinity's core truth to us is that we are loved, that we can know God, Father, Son, and Spirit just as they inherently know and love one another. And knowing that love and working to grow in openness to God being involved in our lives can lead us to all sorts of incredible and amazing things happening. Last week, those of you, if you were at our baptism service at 10:30 last week, you know, we heard stories from each of our candidates about how they had discovered this love for themselves. And how that love and how they were growing in their understanding of what it meant for their life each and every day. Now, I know when we talk about being loved by God, that there's mixed mileage for some of us on that. And particularly on when we're talking on a day like Father's Day or Mothering Sunday, sometimes that can bring to the fore all the difficulties we might have with that. It can be a reminder of perhaps what is or was missing in our lives, just as much as it can be a reminder for many of what is present. And the idea of opening ourselves up to the love of God, to being in some sort of relationship with God, might feel scary or risky or even uncomfortable as a result. For others, just the very idea that God is personal in and of itself might be a challenge. You know, we live in a world where we prefer our autonomy, and this idea of a distant or uninvolved God, a disembodied Father in heaven, is a much more comfortable place for us to be. But the idea of Trinity shows us a perfect love, a perfect relationship which can be trusted and experienced. And the work of the Son and the Spirit tells us that the Father doesn't want to be distant from us, but close, to know us intimately. So how might we take what could just be a kind of a dry theological idea and try and apply it in our lives this week? Well, I have a very, very simple challenge for you. And it's this. Each time you pray each day, and if you're not already doing that, I want to encourage you that now is the perfect time to start finding that daily practice of prayer. But each time we pray, I'm going to encourage us to simply ask God to reveal a little bit more of his great love that he has to us. To be saying to the Holy Spirit, Spirit, would you declare that truth from Romans 5:5 that we are loved and we are invited? And you know what? It doesn't matter where you are in your relationship with Jesus. There is always more to knowing God's love. So it doesn't matter if you are right at the beginning of your relationship with Jesus, or perhaps you have walked with him across the entirety of your life, which may span a good number of years. There is always more of this love for us. There is always more than we can wrap our heads around and more that God wants to show us. And I know for me, that's what I want. I want to see more of that. I want to be part of that loving relationship in an even deeper way than I am currently. I want that work of the Trinity in my life to have it keep transforming and reshaping who I am. And while we might not understand fully the mystery of how it all works, and while from time to time we might stray into, you know, ideas that aren't quite exactly theologically right about the Trinity, none of those things will stop us from experiencing the love of God in all his fullness right now. And I believe that's exactly what God wants for us. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know that we are known. He wants us to know that we are loved by him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. So Lord, as we are gathered here this morning, we pray, come Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, would you be at work in each of us this morning afresh? As we wait on God, perhaps that is our simple prayer, that the Spirit would simply pour out the love of God afresh into our hearts. Lord, remind us that we are known. Remind us that we are loved by you and that all things are possible. And Lord, we pray that as we open ourselves to you day by day, that we would keep growing in that knowledge, in that relationship. And we ask these things in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.